He's called the Indiana Jones of viruses, and his company is the CIA of microbes. Nathan Wolf has been to the farthest points of the earth looking for infection, and he says we should prepare for the worst. Nathan Wolf, after headlines.
You're listening to The Takeaway from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. Quick check of the headlines now at 47 minutes after the hour. British Foreign Secretary William Hague says the plot to kill a Saudi Arabian ambassador to the U.S. is a major escalation of Iran's support of terrorism. The Justice Department this week announced that an Iranian-born American citizen and a member of the Iranian Special Forces have been charged in the terror plot. Police arrested a man in California for a salon shooting that killed eight people and left one critically injured. Scott DeCry's ex-wife worked at the salon. Neighbors say the two were going through an ugly divorce and a custody battle. An outbreak of listeria in cantaloupe is now linked to 23 deaths. It's the deadliest foodborne illness in the U.S. in more than 25 years. The melons should be off shelves by now after a recall, but people may still continue to get sick. And black bears are coming back to life after a three-day outage at Research in Motion that interrupted email and internet services around the world. You're listening to The Takeaway, where we always want to hear what you have to say. Find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Millions are paying good money right now to get scared to death in movie theaters. A horror movie of a different kind currently playing that stars a whole cast of characters. Here's Lawrence Fishburne and Kate Winslet.
As of last night, there were 5 deaths and 32 cases.
There's a cluster in an elementary school.
Okay, that's the kind of thing you're going to have to be prepared for. It's going to be all over the news big time. What's your single overriding communications objective?
We're isolating the sick and quarantining those who we believe were exposed.
Okay, good.
In the movie Contagion, the villain isn't an axe-wielding serial killer, but something infinitely more deadly, a virus. Biologist Nathan Wolf served as a consultant for the film Contagion. And let's be clear, the movie is fictional, but it's not far-fetched. If you want to read the actual nonfiction story about global pandemics, you need to pick up Wolf's new book. It's called The Viral Storm. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
So as I said, we spoke with a virologist who said that the virus in Contagion, there's some differences between the viruses that exist today, but on the whole, it was pretty realistic.
That's right. I mean, any one of these sort of fictional presentations is going to be just one scenario, but by all means, at some point, maybe in 1 year, it may be in 5 years, we will be experiencing global pandemics that won't look in many ways too dissimilar from the one in Contagion.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, you started out working with primatologists. You were researching infectious diseases in apes. So how did you get to become what people are calling the Indiana Jones of viruses, the guy who can sniff out an infectious disease better than almost anyone?
Well, you know, working with primates, they're very much like us, and they're out in these really biodiverse regions, so they're picking up interesting viruses from their environment, and it gives us an indication of what kind of viruses have the potential to jump into us as humans.
So you yourself jumped from primates to humans, and what led you to start studying viruses to humans?
Well, viruses, for a scientist, they're incredibly, incredibly interesting. They're so diverse. They're sort of in, on, around us. Most of the cells, believe it or not, in our body are not human cells. They're mostly microbial cells in our guts, on our skin. And the same occurs in ocean systems. So they're really diverse. For a scientist right now, you can find and discover new things by looking in this sort of unseen world of microbes.
Nathan Wolf, the brilliant Laurie Garrett years ago said that the worst case scenario for viruses was if Ebola became airborne. And the idea being that the transmission vector is really the most important issue, but it's also you related to the genes of the virus itself. What's changing more rapidly in our world, the modes of transmission that are possible in the way that humans interact, or the actual genetic structure of the viruses that would allow, say, an Ebola to suddenly be transmitted in a sneeze?
Well, these viruses are constantly shuffling up their genes and making new variants, and each one of these different variants has different capacity to spread. And what's really key to understand is our world is now so profoundly interconnected. the way that airplanes move us almost instantly around the world and animals are moved by sort of boats and trucks means that a virus in some really obscure village can be in Tokyo or Washington, D.C. in the blink of an eye. And that's what we're really concerned with.
We're speaking with a biologist, Nathan Wolf, whose new book is called The Viral Storm. So let's get into a little bit more of what you talk about in your book, Nathan. Excuse me. To a certain extent, the book is a warning. Your business, actually, you specialize in trying to predict global pandemics. And one of the things that you argue is that there's a big one coming, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if we extend our vision beyond sort of 1 year or 2 years and start thinking about 5 or 10 years, the way that we're connected as a planet just means that it's a matter of time before we see these. And we see them on a regular basis, something like H1N1, the so-called swine flu. I mean, this was a virus that had incredible, incredible power. It moved from infecting a handful of people to within 1 year infecting something like 10% of the entire human population. Had it become even just a little bit more deadly, and these viruses change all the time, we would have been talking about an absolutely devastating, devastating pandemic.
And all right, so with this warning also comes a little bit of optimism. I mean, to a certain extent, one of the things that surprised me the most is the ways in which viruses can be helpful, the ways in which we can use virus research to our advantage. How does that work?
Well, it's a little like someone studying snakes. Everyone's going to be very focused on the venomous snakes, but there's lots of snakes out there, and many of them are beneficial, and most of them don't really interact with humans that much. Viruses is the same, only more so. There are so much diversity of these organisms out there, and just the very smallest percentage of them harm us. So part of the question is, as we explore increasingly this unseen world of these microbes, we're going to see more and more viruses that have the potential to help us in the fight against other viruses and in other parts of our world.
Nathan, let's extend on that snake metaphor there. We know a lot about snake venom and how it works. It's typically a neurotoxin. And I'm wondering, is there a particular way in which viruses are deadly, or can it be anything? In other words, do they manifest themselves in a particular set of molecules, in a particular feature of our bodies, and can we concentrate on that, or is it pretty much, you know, any organic compound in the universe?
Well, it is incredible. Each one of these different tissues in our body has the potential to harbor its own particular class of viruses, and they spread in such a diverse form of ways. There's many different ways that they can infect us. But I think the analogy goes a little bit beyond this, which is, so we take these venoms and we use them to create antidotes.
That's right.
And it's exactly the same thing that we do with viruses. We find viruses that are closely related to the nasty ones, and we can use those to create vaccines.
All right, we're speaking with Nathan Wolf, a biologist whose new book is called The Viral Storm. Talk to me then about how you predict a pandemic. I was interested to see that one of the things your team does is go around the world and visit places where animals are butchered. What are the ways in which you, I guess, the points on your checklist of predicting the next pandemic?
Yeah, really early detection is absolutely key. It's sort of like compounding interest. The earlier that we detect these things, the more lives that we can save in the long run. And, you know, our organization is just about using any tool possible. We know, for example, that all of these pandemics emerge from animal sources. So looking about where there are diverse animals and how people are interacting with them, say hunting and butchering in other ways. But we also use digital surveillance tools. What are people searching? What kind of news feeds are happening all around the world? Our computer scientists are monitoring hundreds of thousands of sites every day for breaking news on little outbreaks around the world.
If you see searches for flu in a cluster somewhere, what's your next step?
Well, these and a number of our colleagues have been doing this for years at organizations like Google, and there's more and more folks that are doing this. So we have people and partners placed in 20 sites around the world, 20 different countries. And what we do often is we investigate these. We look into our repositories to see what kind of animals we have from different regions so we can investigate whether or not viruses were there before.
Yeah.
And we really go out there and try to track these outbreaks and catch them before they spread around the world.
Before they become a pandemic. So in a certain way, you could sum up your book with 6 words, right? Cook your food, wash your hands, right, Nathan?
That's not too bad.
Nathan Wolf, author of The Viral Storm, CEO of Global Viral Forecasting. Thank you so much.